Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide. Where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out freddiedangelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, freddiedangelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Joe from the Joe Metzger Band in St. Louis. You're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Joe Metzger. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. How we doing?
Hey, I'm great, man. This is very exciting stuff. It's our first time really getting to hang out, man.
I think so, yeah.
I was thinking back, I think I first met you, it was at a Big Muddy Blues Festival. I think it was like 2 years ago.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, I came up. I saw your set, and that night was like, I think that was the first year that was all St. Louis.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
And so that year, like, I took notice to a lot of the talent that I some names I've been seeing, and I never got to see them live. And then that your set and like John McVeigh's set.
Oh yeah.
And Green McDonough Band and mm-hmm. all, like, I mean, there was like. So there was a lot of really great stuff happening on those side stages, and I was just like loving it all. And that was a great weekend. And but I met you that night, and I said, "Hey," and I've been following you around since. And it's cool that we finally got linked up to where we got a brand new record to talk about. We got a lot happening. And
yeah, this is great, man. Thanks for having me on. This is really cool.
Yeah,
so I'm glad to see the success you're having with this podcast and people talking about it, and so many great musicians in St. Louis that can participate in this. It's really cool.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm just happy to be a part of it, man. This has been a lot of fun to like just document all what we have going on here in St. Louis. There's so much great music coming out of town right now, and it's just it's exciting to be a part of
it.
Yeah,
it's a cozy little music scene. I sure enjoy it.
Yeah. So we mentioned you have a brand new record. Let's go ahead and get the plug out there. You can come out and pick up a copy of Joe's new record with the band Say It at BB's on, what was it, the 27th.
7 o'clock, you bet.
Yeah.
So we'll have the whole group featured. Playing that night, we'll play the record, we'll play stuff off the previous record, our live record that we released last year, and who knows what. It's always kind of a free-for-all when we play live, so
yeah, man,
it's awfully fun, and we like playing down at BB's, so
for sure. Yeah, cool. we were kind of talking off mic there. It's just a great room, man. It's a lot of fun over there.
A lot of history in that place.
Oh yeah,
it's very cool. I'm not from St. Louis originally, but when I moved here, that's the first place I sort of went into to check out. And got to meet John May, whom everybody knows John.
Yeah.
And he encouraged me to start playing. And he basically put together the group of cats that I'm playing with, because I just went in there to listen. And he says, he figured out who I was and that I could play and stuff. He says, "Hey, man, I'm going to give you some Thursdays." And I said, whoa, wait, I don't have a band down here, man. And he said, "No, there's cats down here. Don't worry." So he introduced me to the guys I'm playing with for the most part. So I really have John to thank, especially for that first live record that we did. The end of 2016 that we did, those are all cats he introduced me to, and it came together really well. So
yeah,
so we started there, and are blessed enough to get some other places around to play at that I'm sure we'll get to talking about.
Right? Is that so? You were playing, but you moved to St. Louis, like not.
Yeah, that's right. I moved. Actually, it's funny. I am from upstate Illinois.
Okay.
And I'd been playing, and then I moved here. I took a teaching job and sort of quit playing music. So you never quit, you know. But I hadn't been playing or pursuing it. Wanted to go just listen and just hang out. Mm-hmm. Got to talking to him, and And that's how it worked. I started sitting in with some people. You know, I just, you know, it's like the bug never unbites you, play.
Right.
So first, as we said off mic, the first cat I met, another guitar player, was Big Rich McDonough, who's fantastic. Great slide player, amazing slide player, and just a nice guy. So I just started sitting in with him, and then he had me sing with his group a little bit on their Wednesdays. And then from there, I met some other guys, and that sort of happens organically. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like St. Louis, I mean, I don't know how it works in a lot of other cities. I've only been a part of St. Louis, but it definitely seems like St. Louis is very welcoming to anybody, especially musicians. Like, everybody just kind of wants to jam together and, like, you know, just see what happens and things. And
that's been my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every musician, particularly guitar players, you play this genre of music, sort of blues and, like, roots music. A lot of guitar players can be competitive with each other, and that's not been my experience at all in St. Louis. Everyone's been really cool. All the cats that I've met have been really cool, sharing ideas, welcoming me up on stage, saying, hey, you need to call this guy at this club and get your band booked in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been really, really neat, the way guys will reference each other. And that's why the scene works, you know, keeping this kind of music happening. It depends on the audience being there, people coming out to hear us, but it really depends on us helping each other.
Right.
And, you know, checking each other's groups out and referring each other for different gigs and things like that. So that's been my experience. It's been great.
Yeah, man. Did you grow up playing guitar, or was it always a guitar?
Yeah, sort of. When I was a little kid, when do you start band? Fifth grade, you start the band. So the trumpet was the loudest thing, so that's what I wanted.
All right.
And I got that, and then, you know, shortly thereafter, you realize, hey, wait, you turn the radio on, there's a guitar on there. And girls like guitar players, man.
Yeah.
So I picked up a guitar shortly thereafter, and just loved it. You know, it's anybody that plays guitar will tell you, you almost can't explain it. You just start playing the thing, and you can't not play it. And then you go, you know, I guess we'd call it research, but you hear one song, I have to figure out who that was, and man, that guitar player reminds me of this guitar player, and there was that guy on that record, and that guy behind that singer, and you just keep learning different styles. One sort of record leads you to another, and you just kind of fall down the rabbit hole of playing the music. That's at least what happened to me. So.
For sure. Who were some of those guys that kind of wanted to spark that, seeing those guitar guys that playing there first?
Oh, gosh. Well, when I was little, before I knew anything, I'm trying to think, my dad had vinyls and 8-tracks. That I got through, and I think B.B. King was the first guy I heard where I was like, wow, I need to figure that out.
Yeah.
I need to get into this. And just off, I think it was a vinyl or an 8-track that he had of, I want to say it was Live at the Regal, but he had that one, and I love that. My grandmother got me into Nat King Cole, so he had Nat Moore playing guitar with him in those early trio records, and I really like that. I guess we call it jazz music now, or standards, American Songbook. I love that music too, even though I'm not really doing a lot of it. We'll intersperse those into our set. We'll put some of them tunes in. But I like Nat. And then, of course, from those cats, I was learning to play at a really neat time, the late 80s and early 90s, when there was a big resurgence in blues music. So you had guys on the radio. Eric Clapton was on the radio. So I went through and found all his stuff. The Derek and the Dominoes record that everybody's familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that record. And then I found the John Mayall record right after that. I found that and realized he was in Cream. So I went through all Clapton stuff. Another cat from that era that I really liked was named Jeff Healey.
Yeah.
Canadian guitar player. Just a great blues rock guitar player. I like that cat. So all that stuff was happening when I was learning how to play. Between that, and then of course I kind of backed into playing in jazz bands. Just sort of happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to really immerse myself in that music as well, which is, I'm glad I did it. I don't really consider myself a jazz musician, but learning some music theory and learning how some of those guys worked and listening to like the great sax players, the alto players, trying to understand their phrasing and understanding piano players, chord constructions and all that's something I love to do. But yeah, I mean, it's probably started with B.B. King, I think.
He's right.
The one guy where it's like, wow, you know, that's probably the guy that got it started for me.
Yeah. I was just listening to Howard Stern. I was talking about it with my buddy Jacob the other day too, but I was listening to Howard Stern and it was like a repeat, and he was talking a lot about Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, sure.
It was like his, I think it was a repeat from like November, and it would have been his 75th birthday. And so they were kind of, they had this whole like big tribute thing going on to Jimmy, and they were kind of talking about, you know, they kind of went through his whole career a little bit, like playing
playing some of his early stuff, you know, and then getting into like Little Wing and some of the bluesier things that he did.
Yeah.
but like you listen to a guy like that and like how he changed the way people play guitar. I mean, like so many people were affected by the way he played it.
Oh,
like,
we all are.
Yeah. I mean, how like it just, you know, put a whole wave through the, you know, the future to how other people are going to continue to make music and stuff. And like, and I think that's something really, you know, special. Like, I mean, that's like, you know, there's not a lot of people that have made that kind of an impact as quickly, I think, especially. Like, I mean, you think that he only did that till he was 27.
Yeah, his output was, what, just less than 4 years?
Yeah.
And the lasting impact that cat had. And for me, when I saw him, saw a video of him, I'm left-handed, and I'm like, see, I told you fellas I can play the guitar this direction.
Right.
You know, because I see him doing it, I said, well, I'm going to do it this way.
Yeah, so. Well, he plays it upside down and strings it.
You could watch closely and you could see that he turned the strings.
Right.
So he was playing those right hand Stratocasters flipped over, but he'd flip the strings around so that the chord formations were conventional, just backwards. And that's the way I play too.
Yeah. Wow.
So it seems to work. I sure tried to just grab a right handed guitar and just make it work, but I just never felt like I could get all the chord formations I wanted. So I just gave up and ripped the strings off and ripped it over. So,
yeah.
So, that's the way I do it. Yeah, Hendrix was amazing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, great stuff.
Well, yeah, that when they played Little Wing, man, I was like, that's such a great song. Like,
isn't it?
I love Sepp. I mean, obviously, I love his rock, you know, Purple Haze and all this stuff.
Oh, sure,
but, like, but those blues licks he plays, man, there was some great stuff in there.
Yeah, that's a great, great tune. The chord construction's really neat. That sort of R&B rhythm style that he did, I really like that. You know, I like that style of playing that he did.
Yeah,
those kinds of tunes.
Talking about kind of how, like, especially what you're doing too, kind of, you know, mixing playing a little bit of jazz and kind of some of the stuff you do in your live set and things like. I think that's important to do. I mean, Jimmy did that too. Well, you know, we had rock, we had blues, you had R&B, you had it all kind of mixed in there. And like, I think that's what keeps it fresh, keeps it all, you know, entertaining and stuff too.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's
learning all that different stuff.
It sort of happened. I mean, a lot of cats, I admire cats that are real true to a genre. When you hear cats that can do it authentically, for lack of a better term, and that's what they do. And you know, that's a blues cat right there. And that's what he does. And he sounds authentic. And I admire guys like that, you know. Or you hear a rock and roll guitar player and it's like, wow, that, you know, or whatever. Or a real jazz cat that's playing, you know, straight down the chute, bebop. And I'm more eclectic, you know. Mm-hmm. So I admire cats like that because I kind of can't do it.
Yeah.
And what I feel blessed about now is just kind of doing my own gig like this. We sort of touch on a lot of those bases, you know. Mm-hmm. So we book it as blues. And that's really the spirit of what we're trying to do. But we're playing different kinds of stuff. The songs I'm writing are pretty eclectic. You know, we'll cover all kinds of different stuff too. Like I said, we will do some standards in our set, depending on the audience, you know, the time of the set and all that.
Right.
Maybe not so much not doing Nat King Cole covers at 1 a.m. on a Saturday, maybe.
Yeah.
But I love all that music, you know, and we'll do like soul covers from the 70s. I mean, I like all of that stuff, so I'm just, that's sort of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that. But that being said, I admire cats that can just do one genre and really do it well.
So. Yeah. You, as far as the singing and stuff, were you singing as a younger too?
Yeah, I guess so. My grandma, when I was real little, had me singing along with those Nat King Cole records and such. So it kind of started like that, but I wasn't in like high school choir or anything like that. It was just sort of like someone had to sing in the band in high school. I can sing a Hendrix tune, I'll do it.
All right.
You know, it just sort of happened. And then at some point I realized, well, you know, because I had been a sideman too for a long time, and I still will take gigs as a sideman, though I don't get called very much anymore. But you soon realize, well, if I can sing, then I'm the one that's booking the dates and I'm hiring the guys instead of just sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring. So being able to sing and investing myself in doing it and trying to do it well, good career move, you know, because now we can, you know, book the dates and use my name and stuff.
Yeah.
So it works out. Yeah, it sort of started. Somebody had to sing. And you know, when I was playing, when I got to college and I was playing, not in the jazz band, but playing in a bar with the jazz cats because they needed a chording instrument. So I just started singing, you know, hey, sing the Sinatra song. Okay, cool. So it just sort of happened. And that's where it's left.
You, do you remember some of those early band names and stuff? Did you have those like garage bands and stuff?
Oh gosh, no. The cats in high school I was playing, I don't think we even had a name. We were just happy to set up in the garage and have a bunch of people come over.
Right.
If you were lucky, some girls came over to hang out. So
yeah.
We did, I had a van that I drove, a beat up Ford Econoline, and we managed to rig a car battery to a power strip so that we could set the whole band rig up in the van. Drums, bass, guitars, everything, and a nasty PA and drive around playing.
There you go.
So we did that. But yeah, by the time I got to college, I played in the jazz band. And then right, you know, early 20s is when I started to put bands together, cover bands and such, and play around. Mm-hmm. And it was great.
You ever catch Jam in the Van? You ever see those? There's a video series on YouTube and Facebook and everything, whatever. You can find all over. But they go to like these festivals, Bonnaroo and whatever, these different major festivals, and they'll get... you know, I know my Devin Allman's done one, my buddy, Gary Clark Jr. I mean, like all these like great players and some, you know, lot, very different stuff. There's a group called Moon Taxi I like a lot that did one. A lot of different players jump in, but sometimes it's like a solo, sometimes duo. Sometimes my favorite are when they get the whole band in there, like Moon Taxi, there's like six guys in the band or something like that, and they're all like, literally in the back of this van.
That's fantastic.
And some of them are like, you know, squeezed up against the window and they, like, you know, got the guy's guitar in his face and everything else. And
yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah, and it's just, but they'll come in and do a couple songs and it's just, it's really a cool, unique thing. I mean, the van's all decked out, like, you know, and they got a bunch of different decoration and stuff, but
that's great.
It's just, it's a really a fun, unique twist on doing, you know, performance videos and stuff like that. So, I'd definitely check out Jam in the Van.
Yeah, that's great.
It's but just like you're saying, like you know, that what they do, and like, well, just like how you mentioned, like that's a lot of I've been having this idea of like wanting to do more like with the podcast like that also. Like I've kind of talked about it on here before, but like I just think that would be a lot of fun, you know, to keep it mobile like that, have it be able to be able to just jam wherever and stuff.
Right,
and,
right.
And so
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So we, like I said, you do have a brand new record coming out, sure. Titled "Say It." Let's play some of these tunes, man. You said you wanted to share "Dance with Me," which is the first track on the record.
Yeah, with this record, we, I guess the genesis of it was me playing with Rich McDonough and just having such a great time, just playing with that cat because he's such an amazing slide player and such just a gracious guy. And I always thought, man, you know, when I get my own group happening, which happened pretty quick right after that. Boy, I'd like to bring him in and just have him play. And it's like we had mentioned that Derek and the Dominoes record where you got Dwayne Allman and Eric Clapton just playing up each other's noses on that record. It's fantastic. And I thought, you know, capturing something like that would be pretty cool. And that's where it started. So I had been writing a couple of these tunes and I thought, you know, that sort of early 70s blues records, a lot of the, you know, Freddie King's I'm Ready and stuff in the, kind of that era, the late 60s, early 70s. That's kind of what we were shooting for, is a, you know, an homage to that kind of sound with these tracks. But yeah, that first one is kind of, we call it a Texas Shuffle. Just the idea of, you know, what's going to go over on a Saturday night. I think we wrote that spontaneously, I think, on a BB's gig. We just played it.
Oh, yeah?
And then, I had to figure out what I just sang. And then went in and recorded it. So yeah, I'm happy with it. And they're all a few minutes long. You can see a video of this on the Facebook page where we played it at the, I want to say, was it the Minnesota game? The hockey game we had played at recently. I think it was Minnesota was here. But they put us on TV playing this tune. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
Chance. Come on, woman, dance with me.
But yeah, that's what we wrote. And then I got horn section on there. But you got some short solos with us, like radio friendly. It's about 4 minutes long, I think.
Yeah. So a lot of this was improvised, you said? Just kind of come up on the...
Well, yeah, that particular tune kind of just came together that way.
Yeah.
The others, I had ideas and finished them out. One cover tune on there that we did. But, yeah, it just sort of happens. And then, of course, when we play live, I mean, I can never... It's that improvisational spirit probably picked up from, you know, from playing around Jazz Cats. It never happens the same way twice.
Right.
Like, I almost can't play it like the record. Because, and then when we get to play, and the arrangements will just go places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the cats will just start taking extra solo or
sure.
just decide to change the groove within his solo. And we just go.
Yeah.
Or we'll start playing another song in the middle of another song and, you know, responding to the audience. So,
I love that though. Like, you know, if I wanted to listen to the record, you know, we can hit play on the record and I can, you know, it's like.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way
because, yeah.
you know, it's not always been the case. Somebody's like,
sure.
Oh, is that what it sounded like? Do the thing.
I mean,
I like.
You know, in a sense, like obviously, I do feel like here's an example. I went to Lou Fest like, I guess you know whatever, year ago, year and a half, whatever it was. I went to see and I saw Lauryn Hill was there.
Oh sure, yeah.
And I was pretty excited about. I mean, I really enjoyed what she was doing, you know, several years ago and things, and it was kind of. But she kind of came out and she, you know, she did all some of the hits, but she did them like, I don't know, like remixed or however, or like they were like different tempos and they're, you know, faster and all this stuff. Anyway, just wasn't quite anywhere like relatable to what the record was.
Right,
and so like, it was still fun, but it's like also kind of like, I guess it would have been different if she would have done like at least something that was familiar.
Sure.
But it was like everything was kind of different. And so like, so I think if like, if you're doing a whole set, then it gets a little much. But like, sometimes you want to hear something that's, especially somebody like that, where you like you're a fan of the older stuff.
Oh,
you
sure.
want to hear. But you know, as far as that, like I do love when a song can take on different, you know, roles and have different you know, sometimes you have a horn player, sometimes you have keys or whatever,
sure,
you
yeah.
know, whoever the players might be, and they kind of, you know, they have these different versions of the songs and different stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, I get what you're saying, and I guess, you know, some people consider themselves like, you know, songwriters / poets, I suppose, and then you know, an artist moves.
Right.
And, you know, you respect that when you go check them out. So I think, you know, when you're talking about a song that you wrote or a song somebody else wrote maybe, but I agree with you. We try and, you know, keep to the spirit of the song.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll take some liberties.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always fun, especially when you see, like you said, acts that you like.
Yeah.
It's like you're giving me the thing that I like from the song, and it's familiar enough to me that I got that. But maybe the guitar solo goes somewhere else, or maybe they tag a vamp at the end and they improvise over the end of it, or play it, you know, 20 clicks slower
mm-hmm.
than they did on the record. And that's what we end up doing.
Right.
So. And I don't know that it's deliberate as much as it just sort of happens, and we just trust the mood of what's happening.
Yeah. And of course, like you saying, doing a cover on here also, like, I do find it's fun when it comes to covers, when you're doing, to take a little bit more liberty with them and have, kind of make it your own and put
yeah.
your own stamp on it. You know, so those are always fun too.
Yeah, that's what we did. So it's a, you know, I'd been talking, another buddy of mine, Ben, is here from England, and he's a huge Eric Clapton fan. He's a bass player, and he's from London, naturally. It's so cliche. But, you know, we talk about those old records, and I was thinking, gosh, you know, if I was going to cover an Eric Clapton tune, what could I do that, you know, that hasn't been done already? Or what could I do? So it's Have You Heard About My Baby from that John Mayall record, from the very first one. And it's faithful to the arrangement. Terry played a great tenor sax solo leading into it, just like on the record. And then, of course, I played the guitar a little bit different. You know, more like what I do. You know, nobody can do what Eric does.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, I put a twist on it, and I play, you know, different embellishments through the phrasing and some of that tenor sax phrasing that just sort of comes out when I play. So I'm real proud of what we did on that particular cut. So
yeah, man.
But, yeah, we did that.
Cool. You said you also wanted to share a song called Let Me Be, which
yeah.
this is the second track on the record.
Yeah, that one... that's Rich is featured on that, playing slide, and he wrecks it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That arrangement kind of took its own life on when we recorded it. But I had this idea of, you know, the vintage song construction where it's an 8-bar blues and then I got a bridge in it. And we broke the form in doing the arrangement, just sort of when Rich was done improvising over the 8-bar form. We'd get to the bridge and I'd sing back over it. So, you know, we don't keep the form on the recording, but that's that spirit of, you know, me and him playing off each other. So we're alternating solos. And yeah, the lyric to that is, you know, sort of be like the old blues songs where it's, you know, I love you, you love somebody else kind of thing. So my guys in the group that are single, tell me about this story. So it's hardly autobiographical. Like, I don't have a blues, man. I've had the right girl for 19 years. So, I'm not singing the blues that way. But yeah, that's what that was about. So especially Terry, my sax player. So, you know, either come on over or let me be. That's kind of the theme. And then just an excuse for Rich and I to play off each other, which was really cool. So we did that on the other, what was the track? Yeah, Cause You Pain is another one where Rich and I are playing off each other. And that's that sort of Booker T, Green Onions kind of thing. We're playing off that in a minor key, and both of us stretched on that. So,
did you get to do that live when you recorded in the studio, or do you guys?
Little Beach, yeah. Somebody came together piecemeal when I could get the guys in there, and you know I'd go pick them up and drag them in there when I needed to, or you know when they could. Some of the basic tracks are all of us together, and I think you can hear that. You know,
where did you record?
Oh yeah, Casa del Toretta. My buddy David Toretta, his studio, and he's the guy that recorded our live album too.
Okay.
So he had worked, guys in the music scene know him, he had worked for Chuck Berry for a long, long time, and just got a great set of ears on him, super nice guy.
Yeah.
And he understands, you know, like what you're trying to sound like without having to articulate it to him. He's just got that intuition about how it should sound, and I got to know that when he recorded our live record. So when we went to a studio to do this, he'd get the sense of what I was trying to get done, and he'd just stop me sometimes and say, hey man, let's just wait and do this one until you got Terry and Brady in here to put the horns down. Let's do this other one because Rich is coming. And he just had a sense of what the mood was going to lead to, which was really great, you know. So easy to work with. Understood the, shall we say, the quirks of some of my guys, personality quirks to get him to work. Yep. So he was amazing, and still is, obviously, and a great friend now too, just a great guy. So.
Yeah.
Said to call you, don't pick up the phone. Well, you said you want me, and now you say leave me alone. Make up your mind, girl, come on over, or just let me be. I saw you out with your girls today. I walk over, and then you hide and run away. We're crippling games. Make up your mind, or else just set me free. Well, first you say you need me, and then you just want a friend. And now you're trying to love me, woman, these changes got to end. Make up your mind, girl, won't you come on over? A woman, just set me free. Come on, Rich. Oh, I know she's gonna treat me right. So make up your mind, girl, come on over. Oh, just let me be, yeah. Won't you just let me be? Woman, just let me be.
Is Big Rich gonna? Is he available that night to join you at the party? Or
I don't know.
Yeah,
I need to call him. That's coming up.
Yeah, that'd be fun to see you guys trading licks at the.
Yeah, man. So I play. I don't know if he mentioned this. He does his Wednesdays down at BB's,
right.
Calling it Rich and the Renegades, and he brings in different singers. So I'm about once a month. It's never the same Wednesday. It's just sort of whenever he remembers to call me.
Yeah,
and that's just great. And I mostly just let him take the lead. I'll sing and just set him up, man. It's just great. So.
Come on down to BB's. Again, that's the 27th. That'll be the big release party. Physical copies available. You guys got a couple other dates. You can come out to see Joe and the guys on February 10th. You'll be over at Moonshine Blues Bar in St. Charles, Missouri, which out in my neck of the woods. That's a nice, real nice room over there, too.
Yeah, it sure is. The Hendrix Barbecue, and it's right downstairs. Yeah, nice folks there, too.
Yeah. So. And, you mentioned playing the Minnesota game a while back, but you're going back to play the Scott Trade Center for the Blues again on February 11th.
Yeah, I think it's the Penguins are in town, so we'll be playing featured again for that, which was a great time last time. So I think that's a Sunday morning game. So
you play before the puck drops, and then
that's what they had us do. Yeah, they had us play a tune right before they dropped the puck, which was amazing, and they panned right over to us, put us on TV. It was really neat.
Yeah.
And then we played between the periods. They had us play. I think at one time out we played, and then between both the periods, or both the breaks, we played, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah, like 30,000 people or something?
Oh, my gosh, man. It's like, amazing.
Yeah.
And people were really cool, too. I mean, you know, hockey fans are cool anyway, you know, and, you know, we crank up and got kind of rowdy with them, and it was just great. You met some nice people and hung out, so. Yeah, it's great. Excited to go back, man. It's very cool.
Yeah. I had a couple of buddies. They had like some kind of online, you know, Twitter vote competition thing going, and they won an opportunity to do the same thing, play before the game like that. And, you know, I was just like, and that's, you know, it's got to be pretty, I mean, well, it's also very cool of the Blues organization to open up, to let local music come in and play and all this stuff.
Yeah, it's a neat deal. I know they've been doing it, but they sort of approached me. I was playing and do play a lot at the National Blues Museum, which incidentally is amazing if you haven't checked it out.
Yeah.
It's really cool. We played on there a lot. And then some of the executives from the team sort of said, well, hey, look, we got a music note on our jerseys and we're named after. I said, yeah, I know. And they said, well, wouldn't it be cool to have blues bands from town come and play? And I said, yeah, that would be really cool. And they sort of said, well, what would it take to get you to come play? And I said, well, how about just calling me? You know, so that's what happened. And I do hope that they're going to continue to get more blues bands coming to play at the blues hockey games, because it's a really neat deal.
Sure.
And like I said, hockey fans all like music, and hockey fans are the best, man.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. So.
Well, you do, you included some hockey
we did.
Stuff on this record. Is there?
Yeah, well, they asked us to play. So, yeah, I take that back. I guess there's two cover songs on here. Asked us to revamp the old Stompin' Tom Connors hockey song from back in the 70s. So we did, and we did a St. Louis twist to it, and that's on the record. They're spinning that at the games, which is really flattering that they're playing our stuff at the games. So I don't know if they're going to use it in commercials or the playoffs. I don't know exactly what they're fixing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we did. So we did a sort of Johnny B. Goode style type arrangement. Then we did another one that's kind of a more New Orleans kind of shuffle with horns. So we did two versions of it for them. And they were so nice, I thought, well, let's just stick them on the record.
Yeah, man. Did you grow up as a hockey fan? Or
I'm a football guy.
Yeah, football.
Yeah, yeah, I played football all my life. I like hockey. Yeah. When I was a little kid, I lived in Peoria, Illinois. So we had the Rivermen, which is the Blues minor league affiliate. So I got to see Tony Twist.
Oh, yeah.
Back when I was a little kid, you know, and you know, the minor leagues, they let him fight too, so it was great. So got to watch him when he was coming through. And there's a lot of great players came through, and then they'd get, you know, shipped down to the Blues and come back. So that was when I was real small.
Right.
So I liked hockey, but I never played it. So, you know.
Did you play football, though?
Yeah, I did football, and I was in a bunch of sports. I did football, I did track, played basketball in high school.
Yeah, I did all that, too. I did football, and basketball was, like, my, you know, primary ones, and then I threw a disc and shot and track just to stay active. And,
yeah, definitely. I threw the javelin in college. Yeah.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah, it's fun. Getting off the bus with a spear was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So did that. Played football at a small college, Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois. Played football, threw the javelin in the spring, and then hung around the jazz band and got to play with them at this little Thursday stand that they had. So I'd go play with them and sort of learned on the fly out of that bar how to play. You know, what's that? It's a chord change? You know, what's that called? Oh, okay. And so it was a great time.
Yeah. So did you ever get into the open mic stuff and all that too, or did you? Was it just through college that?
Not a lot. Not a lot. We did do one. The National Blues Museum is starting those up. Okay. Quick plug for those guys, and they're doing them on Thursdays. So if you want to play some music, you play guitar, harp, or bass, drums, whatever, you know,
sure.
And you want to play some blues, they're having that jam on Thursdays. So I went and helped them out last Thursday. It was a great time. So no, I was never an open stage kind of guy. I guess I was lucky. I was getting gigs right away. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, since I could sing, when I was younger, I'd get gigs doing, like, sitting with an acoustic guitar in a coffee house, and I'd work for, like, Lunch and Tips when I was a kid, and just singing, like we said, Sinatra and Nat King Cole songs or whatever, while people are taking a lunch break. So I was doing that, and I was getting bar gigs when I was, of course, when I was 21. when I was underage, I was getting gigs with like, soul bands and R&B bands, so, which was great.
Well, how do you take that step to introduce the original stuff, though, like... You know, did that just, it was a natural progression to...
Yeah, I mean, I did, before I moved here, I had a record of originals that I had done that it somehow got on Spotify. I don't know how it got there, actually, so I'm going to have to figure that out. So I'll call them and get these records put up on Spotify. But we did that, and then when I got the cats I was with here, we started doing just blues standards, you know, covering B.B. King tunes, mm-hmm. and then real quickly started integrating my tunes. And then that came together. We did the live record, and then we're just writing some more tunes now. So,
right.
Yeah, this group, you know, me playing around St. Louis is less than 2 years now. So I'm really blessed that we've got places to play and people come out and check us out.
Yeah.
We have a chance to make records. So I still call them records. You know, people don't even buy CDs, man. They're like, where do I download it?
Yeah. So. I would encourage everybody to take a listen and you can pick up a copy at the party. And then hopefully it'll be online here shortly and stuff.
Definitely.
You said there's a solo video of you playing it at the Blues game, but is there more? Do you want to do any like official music videos or do anything like that?
I would. I'm not real sharp about that kind of stuff. So like I said, if you look at the webpage, JoeMetzka.com, or the Facebook, it's Joe Metzka Band on Facebook. There are videos, a smattering of videos on there, and it's mostly people just filming us.
Right.
Except for the hockey game, it's the TV broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
We did three of our songs on that. It's on the TV broadcast, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely would. I don't, like I said, with this particular record, I think a couple of the tracks, we geared them to be radio friendly. So hopefully we'll get a chance to get them out that way, but I don't know how to make videos,
sure.
And I, truth be told, I don't know how many cats that do that stuff. So if you know, anybody wants to make a video, holler at us.
There are a lot of cool, we talked about music here in St. Louis. There's a lot of nice collaboration, but along with the music art, there's also a lot of physical artists and video artists, mm-hmm. and stuff. There's a lot of people, you know, doing very interesting things around town that want to just help out too, and. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that are doing it and they might be able to help something happen, make something happen, but...
Yeah, I suck at marketing. Yeah. I can't couch that, man. I'm just terrible at it. So I'm,
you mentioned that track, Let Me Be, and like that's some of that story, though, and I just kind of feel like, you know, that could make a pretty fun music video.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Just, you know, that kind of that story and stuff.
Oh, so. Yeah. If you listen to the poetry, it's the whole theme of it. And all of these lyrics are pretty simple.
Right.
These, I'm not trying to, to do something super sophisticated in a four-minute song. So they're all fun, you know, in the spirit of that music. But yeah, that particular one, it's the idea that, you know, you kind of seen a girl and she's kind of like, halfway friend zoning you. Yeah. You're not sure where things are.
Right.
And believe me, single musicians all know that story very well. And of course, you know, gripe to me about it since I'm the guy that's married. And I'm like, well, hey, look, man, I go home, I got a maid. So,
right.
So you know, that's what inspired that. You know, so, especially the single guys I'm playing with just griping about that particular scenario.
Yeah. But yeah. I did put your picture up online. We mentioned mentioned Facebook, and I like to open them up to fan questions and stuff. And we had Mark writes in and asked, he wanted to know if you have any modern influences, if any, and which guitar players does he enjoy seeing or listening to? So.
Oh, God. We could go on for hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't, you know. I said B.B. King by default,
right,
because he was the first guy. Oh, man, there's so much great stuff out there.
Do you have it? Like, is there anybody, like, today, you know, modern today in the radio that you really admire? And
I got to admit, I don't listen to the radio that much, except for, well, the local station.
Sure.
I'll listen to. Yeah, actually, it's funny because the guys that I'm playing with actually hit me to more music than what I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
I've taken time to meet the guys around the scene here, which are really great.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when somebody turns me on to something, I'll go look it up.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm huge in our music, local and stuff. I mean, that's pretty much all that's in my CD player all the time is my buddy's CDs. But, you know, on the national scale, I mean, we got a lot of younger great players, you know, Joe Bonamassa and Derek Trucks. You know, and like, I mean, these guys.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun to watch these, you know, younger guys carrying on a tradition of great blues and stuff.
Oh, you're
not
kidding, man. And that's you hit it on the head there. I often lament that when I'm out, maybe that's the wrong word, but, you know, I love connecting the music with people that love to listen and participate when we're playing and hang out with them on the breaks and stuff. It's just great, man. I met some great friends in St. Louis that just love this kind of music. But I'm always really excited when somebody younger is checking it out, and especially if they're playing it, because, you know, I don't want the thing to just wind up only in a museum, you know? And if it's just people our age and older that are into this stuff, you know, in another generation, is there going to be people playing still?
Right.
And that's when I see people younger that are playing or into this music, that really makes me happy.
So, yeah, man.
But yeah, you know, all the cats that you mentioned, I mean, yeah, they're great.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't know, you know, I guess, you know, we were talking earlier off the mic about how so many guitar players are competitive and can kind of be jerks to each other. And I don't know, maybe I outgrew that, because you know, I hear somebody, you know, I hear a cat that can do something I can't do. I'm like, man, that is cool, you know. So you mentioned both of those cats,
right.
You know, they have a thing that they can do that nobody else can quite do. So, you know,
yeah,
it's really cool.
Well, you're holding a guitar. You got is a resonator ring?
Yeah, this is. I was talking to my aforementioned buddy Ben from London. We were just talking. He says, I can't do his accent, but he's such a charming cat, and he's so energetic. And he says, you ever play the resonator guitars? And I said, well, not really. It's hard to find them left-handed, man. And so see, he actually found this. I don't know how he maneuvered to get it. So and I'm trying. He won't let me pay him back for it. So I keep buying him wines when I see him. So, but yeah, he just got me this. And so,
yeah, it's beautiful, man.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I used to play a little bit of slide, and I'd kind of play some slide in the set. You know, there's a cat named Danny Gatton who would do this shtick where he'd play slide with a beer bottle. You take the label off it.
Sure.
You cover the, it's a full beer, and you, it's funny to see it. You cover the end of it, and you build up a slide solo really loud, and then as you climax the solo, you pop the beer, and it blows up everywhere. And you
can, right.
I saw Danny Gatton do that. That's if you don't know who that is, check him out. He's a ridiculous player, talking about crisscrossing genres. But then, of course, you throw the bottle down, and then you get a bar towel, and you wipe the neck off while you're playing through the bar towel.
Yeah.
It's a great gag that I picked up from. Anyway, I used to do that, but then I met Rich McDonough, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to play much slide anymore.
Yeah.
This is Rich. Hey, Rich, why don't you come in and drop the slide on this record?
Yeah.
So, these resonator guitars are designed for slide, but I'm just kind of... guitar. There's no strap on it, so I can't take it out to play. Mm-hmm. I probably should play acoustic out live more. I just kind of take my two main electrics out everywhere.
Right.
And just kind of do that.
You get into a lot of gear?
Some. Yeah. Not now like I used to.
Right.
You know, when I was young, I was a gearhead, I think. I always had a you know, a real admiration for vintage gear, the stuff that all those cats played that I admired. So I don't know if the guitar players are listening to this and want to talk about gear. I don't know, but
right.
Yeah, I think that on the Facebook band page, I think I put my main rig. So I've got my two main guitars. I got my ES-335, which is, I think, a 64, and I've changed the back pickup out. It's got a pickup from an SG from the early 60s, a different magnet in it. That's been with me forever. So I've got that, and then I got an old Stratocaster from the late 50s that I really like. So, you know, you talked about Hendrix with the upside down Strat. So
right.
I've got that one, and it's just about original. I've smoked the frets on it a couple of times, but the pickups are original. So so I've got those two, and then a couple of vintage amps. Some old late 50s Tweed Deluxe amps. I got a couple. One was restored. I smoked the transformer in it, so it's been restored. And the other one's stock. The one on this new record, it was 58 Deluxe, and it's original, except I got a Celestion speaker in it. So this is getting kind of gear crazy. Past what people get to. But yeah, and then I've got some vintage pedals. You know, I got a Vox Wah-Wah from the late 60s, 846 Wah, like Hendrix, and old Tube Screamer that's been with me. And early 80s, I think. One of the green ones, the 808 Tube Screamers. It's really great. And every Blues Cat has one. Like, every Blues Cat has that pedal. And then another one, a 90s pedal called a Klon Centaur. I like that, too. For overdrive, I'll use those two and just bump them into the front of those old amps. And it works out well. So, yeah, on this record, I used a Fender Vibratone, which is their version of a Leslie. That was made, I think, the late 60s, early 70s was the window that was used. So you can hear that swirling around on the first track. And on the rhythm parts, you can hear that on this record. And drove it with a little basement amp.
Nice.
So, black basement head. So, yeah, I'm a gear dork, too. Sure. But not like I used to be. So, I mean, I got onto Gravity Strings when I need something. So I'll get strings off of them. But I don't hang out in guitar shops much anymore. Not like I used to. Maybe I should.
Yeah. I don't play. I don't really know much about them. Oh, I mean, I'm a big fan, obviously, but I'm getting to learn a little more about some of the stuff. Like, I've had Dave Anderson from Tritone Guitars on the show and stuff. And, like, it's just, and I'm, you know, friendly on Facebook with Brad Sarno.
Okay.
Who's, you know, he does a lot of pedals and things. And
yeah, I love meeting guys that know this stuff. I mean, my buddy Josh Bradshaw is the guy that goes through my gear, and he's from back upstate Illinois. So whenever something breaks, I take it to him still. And he's been through just about my entire signal chain.
Yeah.
You know, the volume pot died in my Strat. Finally, he changed that out for me. Repaired my pedals. He's the guy that restored my second Deluxe. So, I got an old Fender Twin, too, from the mid-60s that he restored for me. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I love talking. So a lot of guys know how stuff works.
Right.
I know what I like when I hear it, and I can tell you what I like about it, but I can't tell you how to fix it. So when I talk to cats that can fix pedals, and they say, no, this is the transistor, and this is the LED clipping that you're hearing that you like, I think that's really cool.
Sure.
I don't understand it, but...
That's how I'm at the mechanic. I go, you know, it's making this noise, and I'm like, I don't, you know.
Right. Yeah. I changed the oil.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you, like I said, the big party on the 27th, come on over to BB's. You said you're going to play the entire record and...
yeah, we'll play the last record too. And then, of course, yeah, some cover tunes people have us doing. We'll have friends that always want to hear certain things. So we've been doing, fun stuff. One friend of ours will be down. He likes us to do Bill Withers covers, a couple of those that we'll do.
Some good stuff, man.
Yeah, some of our buddies like we do a couple of Hall & Oates tunes and kind of put our own spin on them. Open them up for solos a little bit more. So, yeah, we'll play anything, man. Yeah. That's cool. So,
I just I mentioned I work at Broadway Oyster Bar.
Yeah, that's great.
And last night we had a bluegrass type of group, Grass Fed Mule, here in town.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've heard them.
Yeah, and they just did a cover of kind of a blues or a grass version of I Can't Go for That from Halls of
Notes. Yeah,
and it sounded really nice, man.
It's great. Yeah, we haven't played in Oyster Bar in a minute. I'd love to get back in. So,
yeah.
Holler at Brett and Alonzo. Hey, put me back in there, man. We miss you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did some Zeppelin covers about a month ago. We were playing over at 1860s and did a couple of Zeppelin covers for some guys that were in. So,
nice.
I think they had come from a hockey game. They were feeling pretty surly, so did some Zeppelin for them.
Yeah,
so,
man.
I can get a Zeppelin song at the end of the set, and then I got to go rest my pipes, man. I can't sing that high the whole night. So,
yeah.
That's kind of like doing all of those, like, guys that sing with air raid siren vocals, like doing a Journey cover. Like, I can do a Journey cover, but I can do one, and I got to take a break. You know. So when can I say this on the air? When the drunk white girls come in and they want Journey covers,
yeah,
I give them one, and then we take a break. So But yeah, we have fun, man. Well, you know, I don't know what a blues snob or a jazz snob. I mean, sure. Life's too short, man. There's so much good music out there.
Yeah. My buddy Spanky does like a lot of dueling piano gigs and stuff, and he always shares his pictures online of like requests and things he got.
Oh yeah.
And they were all on one piece, and he had Mustang Sally, Don't Stop Believing, just like all the state, you know, right. Classic request, of course, Sweet Caroline.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, just, it was just funny that, literally every one of those, standard request. I mean, everybody has I don't know, you get them, but it's fun. They're great songs. I mean, that's the reason people love those, you know, singing along to Journey songs.
Oh,
and
sure,
stuff.
Man.
But yeah, it's like, but those are, you know, you get the same couple of requests all the time.
Yeah, this goes back to what you said about taking liberties with the arrangements.
Yeah.
Neil Sean's an amazing guitar player, just amazing. And he's been playing those same solos for, 40 years now?
Yeah.
Every time Journey plays, he's got to play the solo to any way you want it, exactly the way he did it in 1976.
Right.
And good for him, man. So it's cool.
Yeah.
I'd be too apt to take liberties with it and play it different if it was me. But
yeah,
that's great. That's good stuff.
Yeah, man. Well, you can get plugged in with Joe on with the Facebook page, JoeMetzgaBand.com as well. He said, right?
Yeah, it's JoeMetzgaBand.com, and then it's Facebook JoeMetzgaBand.
Okay.
So I should have thought that through probably.
And got the two records. You got the brand new one, Say It, and then you have the live at BB's. Yep. Also available.
Yep, you bet.
So check it out. Get some new music if you haven't picked up Joe's record yet, and come out to a show. But yeah, thanks for doing this, man. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, brother. This is fun.
I'll see you soon, man.
Definitely.
Hey, everybody. This is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So, get involved, shop local, support local business. I got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band, you want to get your records on the shelf over there, reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.